Okay, here we go. The topic that I want to discuss today is Shabbos. Right? Shabbos is so special. You know, there's a beautiful story that there was a guy, he was in the Raden Yeshiva, Chavetz Chaim's Yeshiva, and he was there for the intellectual pursuits. He liked the learning. And his roommate, like, snitched on him and said, you know, the Rashiva gives a shiur, then he goes back into the room and he writes up the shiur on Shabbos. So he was brought to the Chavetz Chaim, and the Chavetz Chaim just, like, held his hand and started to cry and just said, Shabbos, Shabbos. And this changed the person. Now, the two cool things from that story. One is Rabbi Riskin was once telling the story, and he was telling it in Florida, like in the 1970s, and a guy got up and said, he goes, I'm that guy. Right? It's like, you know, the time period works enough that he says, I'm that guy. The second thing was, the Chavetz Chaim said, I slept the three out of the yeshiva, because I can't have you, you know, be Mechalel Shabbos with these guys, but doesn't mean I'm not responsible for you, so I want you to learn with me every day. Come to my house, learn with me every day. So the Chavetz Chaim threw out yeshiva, but continued to teach him. Okay, back to Shabbos. The first time Kedusha is mentioned in the Torah is in reference to Shabbos. It's so important that even though we are commanded to build a Mishkan, you're not allowed to build a Mishkan on Shabbos. In fact, the first 6 days of creation represent the physical world. Shabbos is above that. The Baal HaTurim points out an interesting thing. When you look at the Ten Commandments in Sefer Shemot, Shabbos is the seventh pasuk of the section dealing with the Ten Commandments. Begins with the seventh letter, Zachor at Yom HaShabbat Kadesho, and discusses seven creatures. We say it in Kiddush, right? We say Atah Vincha Bitcha Vavdecha Vamischa Vadecha Vakecha Hashem Sharecha, right? Seven creatures who rest on the seventh day of the week. So this is the emphasis on seven. Soloveitchik said, without Shabbos, B'nai Yisrael wouldn't be holy. Right? On Friday night, we're Mekadesh HaShabbat. Only during the day, we say, Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelko, V'kosev M'shimer Shabbos, V'chein Katsu B'Sar Asecha, we're Mekadesh Yisrael. Right? Shabbos is there for Am Yisrael. We need Shabbos. I think Soloveitchik even said, if you have Chilul Shabbos, you sort of have a breakdown of the family. You know, how many people who are Mechalel Shabbos will have grandchildren that even marry in? Shabbos is what it's all about. We have three different historical Shabbatot. One is from Ma'aseh Bereshit, right? Shabbos, God rested. The second is Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. We received the Torah on Shabbat. And the third, we say it in the Zmir, Yom Shekulo Shabbat. What's that referring to? Olam Haba, when every day will be like Shabbat, the Yemot HaMashiach. This is Shabbos is referred to as Me'ein Olam Haba. Right? We say that in our Zmirot as well. And these three Shabbatot correspond to our Amidah on Shabbat. The Shemona Esrei that we say on Shabbat, Shabbos is the only day of the year that we have a different Shemona Esrei for Shabbos, for Shacharis, that's different than Mincha, that's different than Marv. Every other day of the year, our Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv Amidot are the same, not Shabbos. We have three different themes, and these are the three different Shabbatot. We are taught in Parsha Bereshit, Perek Bet, Pasuk Gimel, that we need to be partners with God. As it says, Asher bara Elokim la'asot. God created the world for us to do something. And this can be seen in all three areas. First area, the Ramban points out that when God created the world, he wants us to take what we have, the raw materials, and improve upon it. We have to build roads and create cities and find cures for illnesses. Right? God gave us the natural resources, said, okay, now, take it, go further. Asher bara Elokim la'asot, as far as Matan Torah, so we know. Our job is to learn Torah and to teach Torah. Right? This is our job. We continue to spread the message. And as far as that last Yemot HaMashiach, redemption, we say that in Aleinu every day as well. Our job is Litakein Olam B'Malchut Shaddai. We have to make this world a better place. We have to pave the way for Mashiach to be able to come. It's on us. The Mechilta, Parshas Kitisa, states, Ein HaShabbat Batela Mi'Yisrael. Shabbos will never be nullified from the Jewish people. And Chazal explained, the Jews have always been Moser Nefesh. They've given their lives for Shabbos, sometimes even against Halacha. Okay, it's recorded in the Book of the Maccabees, which is not part of Tanakh, but it's part of the Apocrypha, the Sefer Chitzonim, that Jews during this period refused to fight even a defensive war on Shabbat. Goyim attacked, and the Jews said, we can't fight. It's Chilul Shabbos. And they paid with their lives. It was against Halacha. The Beis Din had to convince them, to give them sources that you're allowed to. It's Pikuach Nefesh. You have to do it. But this is how much, such high esteem Shabbos was held. We know that Shabbos is the cornerstone of Judaism. We count our days of the week towards Shabbat. Yom Rishon Shabbat, Yom Sheni Shabbat. We're working our way. Shmirat Shabbat is equated to keeping all the mitzvot. Right? We have like several mitzvot. We say, this is Shkula Keneged Kulam. This is equal to all of them. Shabbos is one of them. If you're a Mechalel Shabbos, it's like you're not frum. Okay? Even today, how do we judge frumkeit? Oh, is he a Shomer Shabbos? Right? So Shomer Shabbos. Chavetz Chaim said, Shmirat Shabbat is the we're open for business sign that you hang in the store. That's the sign that, you know, for every Jew. The Sefer, the Chav Kabbalah, asks why in Shmos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yudalid, we seemingly have two different punishments for Shabbat. If you're Mechalel Shabbat, one, death by Beis Din, and the other is Karet. His answer is so interesting. He said Karet, what does Karet mean? Being cut off. It's not a punishment, it's a consequence of your action. If you're Mechalel Shabbat, you cut yourself off from the Jewish people. You, like we said before, the chances of your grandchildren being from or even marrying a Jew is so slim if you are a Mechalel Shabbat. The Ramban on Bereishis, Perek Bet, Pasuk Gimel, says the word Vayikadesh, right? That's what we're supposed to do with Shabbat, is from Kiddushin. It's from marriage. And we all know the Midrash that that the 6 days of the week all had spouses. And Shabbat said, wow, you know, it's an odd number here. I'm without a spouse. And Shabbat said, B'nei Yisrael is your spouse. And therefore, I saw this beautiful idea that Ramban basically is saying that if Shabbat is our spouse, so then if we talk about weekday activities on Shabbat, it's like cheating on Shabbos. Isn't that cool? Like Shabbos is our spouse. And right now, I should be giving my attention to Shabbos. And if I'm now on Shabbos saying, listen, Motzei Shabbos, I'll pick you up. We'll go there. Sunday, we'll do that. It's like, you know, you're talking in front of your wife about, you know, your lover on the side. It's not okay. What an interesting idea, right? So Shabbos is Shabbos. Now, we learned last year the Gemara and Megillah that had Talmai HaMelech that wanted to have the Torah translated into Greek, and he called in 70 Zakenim. And this is the Targum Shivim, right? And all the different miraculous changes that they each made. One of them had to do with Shabbos. And you remember? What was the one that had to do with Shabbos? Yes, it's in Bereishit, where the Pasuk says, V'yechal Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i. God completed his work on the seventh day. And they switched it to sixth day because it would sound as if God was working into the seventh day. So they all said, God completed his work on the sixth day and he rested on the seventh. But the Pasuk says God completed on the seventh day. What happened? So this is the real answer. The Abarbanel says that according to the Hellenistic view, Shabbos would be a day off, so you have strength for the upcoming week. Right? It's a rest day to have strength for the upcoming week. But that's, Vayechal doesn't just mean to finish. Le'echal means that's my purpose. In English as well, we have the word the end. End could be, you know, I finish, or like the means don't necessarily justify the ends. The ends being the purpose. So if so, this is what we need to know. The 6 days are concerned with our temporal, material world. Shabbos is eternal. So therefore, v'yichad Elokim b'yom ha-shvi'i, the purpose is for the seventh day. I work during the 6 days so that on the seventh day, I can now stop this merry-go-round that we call the real world, right? That workplace that we have to go to, the hustle and bustle, the competition, and seventh day, I leave that all behind. Seventh day is just me and God, and that's my purpose. It's not I'm resting now so I can have strength to work. I'm working so I can have this day to just be with God and spiritual things. Now, when we define Shabbos, we need to look at Malachot. The definition of Shabbat is Lo Taseh Ko Malacha. Lo Taseh Ko Malacha. So the question is, what is Malacha? It's clearly not physical labor. Because we can be in the yeshiva here and carry tables up and down stairs and chairs and set up machitzas on the porch and upstairs. We can rearrange the furniture. You know, your mom could tell your dad, let's see how the couch looks over here. And he's schlepping back and forth, right? That's totally okay. And now you're schwitzing, right? That's not considered malacha. But if you flick a switch or walk outside with a tissue in your pocket and there's no eruv, wow, that's a malacha. So malacha is obviously not labor. If so, what is malacha? So based on the Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Mem Tet on the bed, Gemara there says, I learn, how many malachot are there? 39. From where?
From the Mishkan.
From the Mishkan, which is in the Torah, so you're not totally off, but that, yeah, it was a stupid thing to say. So from the Mishkan. Now based on learning it from the Mishkan, the smichut parshia, the fact that we have one parsha dealing with the Mishkan next to Shabbos. Rav Shimshon Fel Hirsch says this beautiful idea that's been quoted and re-quoted many, many times, that malachot need to be creative, just like the Mishkan, and not destructive. And therefore, if like you just rip something, if there's no positive that's going to come out of it, it's not a malacha, right? It's only korea almanat litfor. It's only soter almanat livnot. But just destroying is not a malacha. We do creative activities. That was what was done in the Mishkan. We emulate God. And now, on Shabbos, we stop and recognize God. During the week, we're being godlike. We too, as we said before, are trying to make the world a better place. We're trying to create. So God said, Shabbar Elokim La'asot. On Shabbat, we rest, we pause, we think about, okay, what God did. The Midrash compares the language in Binyan HaMishkan to Ma'aseh Bereshit, both are creative action with a plan. Okay, the Mishkan, the plan is set out for man to do, and obviously Ma'aseh Bereshit, God does. In the Torah, only a few malachot are mentioned. But based on the Pasuk, Lo Safsek Kol Malacha, we expand it to 39 malachot. And even though we said you can't build the Mishkan on Shabbat, we do bring Karbanot on Shabbat. You know, why is that okay? Why am I allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos by bringing a Karban, but I wasn't allowed to be Mechalel Shabbat to build the Mishkan? Any ideas? Okay, so the idea that I saw, yes? Say it again? Well, Ochel Nefesh would deal with Yontif, right? So here, the idea is like this. Shabbos is not about man. Shabbos is about being Lifnei Hashem. And the Mishkan is the place where God is, Makom Giloy Shechina. So until it's built, until the Mishkan is built, Shabbos is more important. Shabbos is more important because there's not yet Giloy Shechina. But after we have the Giloy Shechina, we can now also have the Karbanot. What? And in the Mishkan, the Levium could also play music. Right. On Shabbat. I'm pretty sure on Shabbat. Yes. Now, the 39 malachot in the Mishkan are divided as follows. You had 11 malachot preparation of the dyes for the curtains and the hides. Then you had 13, preparation of the curtains. 7, preparing the hides to cover the Mishkan. And the last 8 dealt with building the Mishkan. Those were the 39 malachot for building the Mishkan. We translate into our daily life as follows. We keep the same order. And we have the first 11 are known as Sidur Depat, making bread. And it starts with Zoraya planting until Afia baking. Then we have the next 13 malachot are producing clothing. The next 9 deal with writing. And the last 6, building a house. Right? So we have the 39. It's sort of the same order. It's not exactly building the Mishkan, but it's the same activities that were done there now translated for us into our daily life. Yeah. Right, that's why I said the first 11, it was preparation of dyes, and there was the cooking was for dyes. We're now making it into baking, but that's how this was worked. It was for making dyes for the Mishkan. Now, we have avot, activities that were necessary for the construction of the Mishkan, and we have toldot. Toldot resembles the av through either purpose or method. I'll give you an example. Harisha. Anyone know what Harisha is? Harisha is plowing. Okay? This is the Av. And weeding is the Tolda. It's similar in purpose, bettering the land. Or Zriya. What's Zoraya?
Planting.
Which is obviously to help growth. And Hashka'ah, watering. Watering is a Tolda. So both of these are similar in purpose. But I'll give you now where it's similar in method. Tochen is grinding. Usually it's done for food. But if you grind metal, so that's a tolda. It's not the same purpose, but it's similar method. Now, every av has toldot. According to the Rishalmi, there are 39 toldot for every av. So we're really talking about hundreds of ways to mechal Shabbat. And the only nafkamina between a tolda and an av is if you did both a tolda and an av, and I warned you, how many karbanot do you bring? If your tolda was subsumed under the same av, so you're just bringing one karban because you messed up in that category. If it was from a different av, so it would be a second category. But it's, you know, an isra d'oraisa to be mechal Shabbat through a tolda, just like an av. That's the only nafkamina. Now, when I'm mechal Shabbat, you look in the Rambam, you look in the Shulchan Aruch, if I do an act, there'll be 3 words. You have to know what these words are. It'll either say chayiv, pater, or mutter. So what does chayiv mean?
Obligated.
What? Okay, so one of 3 things. Either if I was warned and then I did the act, toch kedei dibor, so what's my punishment?
Death.
What, anyone know what type of death? Bechil Shabbos? Skila. Good. Skila, as we know, I first toss a guy off of a high area, so hopefully he breaks a leg. Now he's a sitting duck, and I stone him to death. Okay, skila. If there are no witnesses, what is the punishment if you're Mechal Shabbos b'mezid? Kares, yechayiv kares. And if you did it b'shogig, so what are you chayiv now? Now say what you said before. The carbon, good. So you bring the carbon chatat. Then you have the word pater. What does pater mean?
You're not allowed to do it, but you're not punished.
Good. Pater means I'm pater from punishment. But is it mutter?
No.
So the phrase often is pater aval aser. Okay? And then, and that would be like on a derabbanan level, you can't do it still. And then you have mutter. And mutter means lechatchila. It's okay to do this. So those are phrases you need to know. And if you do something, if you're machal shavs on a rabbinic level, so you can get makos mardus. Anyone ever hear that phrase? Okay, what does merid mean?
Rebellion.
So if I go against a din derabanan, I'm rebelling. On this, it happens to be a machlokas derabanan. How many lashes do you get? One opinion says 3 instead of 39. One says 13. One says 39. One says more than 39. The whole idea is to knock some sense into you. Because what happened? Let's say Ariel's saying, it's just derabanan. Right? It's just derabanan. All right, that's what so many people in high school say. It's only the Rabbanan. That's what I said about Nagia. It's only the Rabbanan. So, like, the Rabbanan. So if that's the case, so rabbis say, yo, that doesn't mean mutter. So they'll whip you until you get the point. If 39 didn't get the point across, they can go more. Makas Mardus. So, something to keep in mind. End with two ideas. Why should I keep Shabbos? What's so special about Shabbos? Right, it's very interesting. This week, we had this like something in a Zoom sort of get-together for Rabbi Findel, who is the principal and founder of the high school I went to, Hank, and for the second yahrzeit of his wife, or the second time he did it, people spoke. One of the people that spoke, I remember her.
Is it his second wife that died?
No. It's his second yahrzeit. His wife died 6 years ago, but only last year they started doing this thing. So the second annual, like, sort of sheer thing. So one of the women that spoke, I remember she's a year younger than I was. Still is, I guess. Well, she caught up. She looks older. Anyway, when I remember we'd be standing at the bus stop, and she once said to me, how did the Goyim exist without Shabbos? And at that time, I was sort of like thinking, like, wow, I really wish I could watch the ball games on Shabbos. But she was like, now I get it. And that's what I'm like trying to say here. And she already saw that earlier. Here are the five reasons. First of all, Shabbos is a testimony to creation. We know what we say by a Chulu Friday night. We have a minug to say it with at least two people. If you down a long Shemona Esrei, try like Eidos. Both recognition and belief, you know, that God created the world. That's one. Second, the menucha, the rest, teaches me freedom from slavery with responsibilities towards God. That's why the second time we talk about Shabbos, it's not because of creation, it's because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? We're no longer slaves. We are free to serve God. We have responsibilities to God. Third, and this is probably what this girl was talking about, and I see it now, family. Shabbos is family time. You move from worrying about the Rishus HaRavim, whatever job you're doing is out there in the public sphere, to now focusing on the Rishus HaYachid, focusing on your family. It's time to just be with family. It's a great time. Four, it's a great equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're the boss, doesn't matter if you're, you know, just starting out, you're still like running errands. Everyone's the same on Shabbos, right? We don't care who's wealthy, who's poor. On Shabbos, everyone's equal. It's a beautiful thing.
The halachot don't apply differently to someone that's like richer or poorer.
Right, the halachot are the same. Everyone's doing the exact same thing. It's not like he has dispensation to go on a horse, you know, in his limo to shul. Everyone's the same. So Soloveitchik tells this amazing story when he was a kid in Europe, and these Hasidim were like still singing Zmiros Shalashudas, and he was waiting for them to stop so they could daven Maariv. He said, when are we davening Maariv? And this guy looked at him, and he describes him. I remember him. During the week, he had his torn clothing. He was the guy that delivered, I don't know if it was the milk or water, like a water carrier. He like filled the water from the well, and he brought it to people's homes. And now in Shabbat, he was wearing like his nice clothes, the nicest he has, and he looked at young, not yet Rabbi Soloveitchik, and said, like, Yingle, little kid, like, are you longing for the weekday? You long? Who wants that to come? Like, Shabbos, he's still like a melech. Once Shabbos is over, he's got to go back to, oh, I got to, like, you know. So that's equalizer. And most important lesson, certainly if you guys don't have family yet, it's time for spiritual growth. Now, here in yeshiva, you're doing that all week. I had a Rebbe that told me when I was in yeshiva, Shabbos either stands for Shena b'Shabbos Ta'anug, sleeping on Shabbos is enjoyable, or Shona b'Shabbos Ta'anug, learning on Shabbos is enjoyable. So he said, you're in yeshiva, if you want to take a nap on Shabbos, by all means, knock yourself out. But when you are working, and you'll have very little time during the week to learn, you better hold from Shona b'Shabbos Tanu. That's going to be your day. to, you know, just sit back and try to get like several good hours of learning in, because you probably won't have it during the week. So it's really a time for spiritual growth. And the more one desires for Shabbos to end, probably the more he really needs Shabbos. Think about the guys in the dorm, Shana Aleph guys that just got here, that can't wait for Shabbos to be over. The more you're desiring for Shabbos to end, it's probably the more you actually really need Shabbos.
I feel like that's a running theme, like the people that say they don't need Musa, they always say that.
Yeah, it could be. Last idea of this, and what I just said now, and what I'm saying now, I saw in a Sefer by Rabbi Chaim Jachter, teaching in TABC. Chaim Cohn brought me a couple of his Sfarim last year. Most of it was dealing with the halacha to Shabbos, but he had a couple of ideas, and I just want to end with, I thought, such a beautiful idea. There's a famous Gemara, you probably heard about it. According to the Midrash, there is a river, it's actually a Gemara, the Sabbatian River, that divides with the Aseres, the 10 lost tribes were sent off into Galut. Now you have the Sabbatian River that prevents them from coming back. Why? Because it's a raging river and they can't make their way across. And the Gemara tells us a dialogue between Turnus Ruffus and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is showing him the famous Sabbatian River that on Shabbos is the only time it becomes calm. But on Shabbos, they can't cross the river anyway. So Rabbi Jachter wanted to say that so too for us, Shabbos is the one day a week we can disconnect and everything's calm. And we don't have our social media and we don't have our phones and we don't have our jobs. And what do we say in the Zmiros? Ma'ididut menucha seich. How beloved is menucha. And when do we really get a chance to have a day of menucha? We can't, right? And even sometimes when you go on vacation, you don't have menucha because, like, they're planning, oh, let's do this, because we already paid to come here. We're not going to sit here in the hotel. Let's go out. And like, Shabbos is the day where we can just really chill, family time, learning, thinking about God. You can spend more time in davening, not a rush. No one's catching a train. No one's catching a carpool. It's our Sabbatian river. It's a day where we just become calm. Yes?
I fully agree with that, but like, not that I'm going to, but like, what is spending time together is like going to Six Flags. Like,
that's great, go to Six Flags. But I'm saying this once a week. I have a nephew who ended up marrying his college girlfriend, and they were telling me, right? They were telling me that when they were in the University of Michigan, they were going around having this petition, we should have one day a week where we just disengage from technology. And they said to them, we already have it. You know, we're good. But they realized the importance, the need for it. Maybe us, more than our great-grandparents, more than our grandparents, we really need it to just disengage and to have conversations. I always say about you guys know how to text beautifully. You don't know how to carry on a conversation face-to-face.
Nope.
Right? Shabbos, opportunity to actually talk to people. Right? It's a beautiful idea. Okay? Bezrat Hashem, we should live Shabbos to its fullest.